This book that we have before us teaches us that when we become a follower of Christ, things change. Changes that take place within us, things on the inside, everything about us. We become different. We become God's new creation. He rebuilds our lives. Old things pass away. The old way of doing things, the old way of talking, old attitudes, old stinginess, old things that's not acceptable to God. The old man is put away. The Apostle Paul told the Galatians that he crucified himself, and it was no longer that he lived, but Christ lived in him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you ever asked a person who they are? Most common answer would probably be first their name, followed by their occupation. Might be a nurse or a doctor, maybe a farmer, maybe a jack of all trades, or maybe have her read the obituary. It tells a story of what that person did during their lifetime. But the thing of it is, these things are just on the outside. They're not on the inside. They don't describe a person's inside. In him we live and move and have our very being. Well, good morning, everybody. What a privilege it is to see people come together who love God, and to blend our voices and bring our devotion to the throne of God, singing praises and giving him honor, making sure everybody knows that that's who we are, that's what we're about. We're Christians, we're followers of Christ. And we're glad that you have chosen the better part of this day in assembling with the saints. Have you ever heard it said, I need to find myself? Finding yourself usually means someone may be unsatisfied or unhappy with the way they live. They think they're not of any value. The key to being a valuable person is to first know who you are and what you value, and in effect, what you have to offer. It means asking yourself what your values are, what truly matters, and follow the principles of God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. And Paul said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I'm drawing your attention to the words on the board behind me, who we are. Each of us need to know that. We need to know how to answer folks when they ask, who are you? What are we going to tell them? First thing, we're going to tell them that we're Christians. In the Old Testament, three times the Lord prophesied about the word name. Now, I want to say that again. Three times in the Old Testament, the Lord prophesied about the word name, N-A-M-E. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 15, in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 5, Isaiah chapter 56, and verse 5, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will give them everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And in chapter 62 and verse 2, he had this to say. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And then again, for the third time over in Isaiah 65, verse 15. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Three times the Lord prophesied about the name, and three times in the New Testament he revealed the name. Only three. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And that word call or called has reference to Isaiah 62 verse 2, when the prophet said God would call them by a new name. Who did the calling? God did. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, when Paul preached to Agrippa, you remember what Agrippa said? Almost persuadeth me to be a Christian. And the third time, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, any man. Now, let's notice very quickly, he's not talking about the church. The church is never called the Christian church. If a man suffers as a Christian, that's an individual, that's me and that's you. Any man, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. What would we tell them if someone was to come by here and ask, who are you? What are you doing the same as you do? We'd tell them that we're a Christian. But a second thing, if someone was to ask, who are you? We'd tell them we are members of the Church of Christ. Don't be ashamed to tell them that. The Bible calls the church of Christ, Romans 16, verse 16. Paul says, the churches of Christ salute you. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul affirmed to the Ephesian elders that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. The church belongs to Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit called it the Church of Christ. When people ask you, who are you? You can tell them we are members of the Church of Christ. Don't be ashamed to tell them that. Next, we're saints. Saints, did you call me a saint? Somebody says, I didn't know you was perfect, and we didn't say we were. The word saint appears 62 times in our New Testament. Saint just means to be sanctified. John 17 and verse 17, he talks about sanctify them through thy word. The Christians at Corinth, they were sanctified people. They were called saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And we're saints, and we're not perfect. And they were far from being perfect. Corinth was home to many diverse people with bad, wicked backgrounds. You can read all about them in 1 Corinthians. They were filled with all unrighteousness, for one thing. Spiritual immaturity. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, he calls them saints. Who are these messy people that they call saints that is living and walking around and called out by God? Who were these previously lawful Jews and pagan Gentiles that needed to be reminded that the gospel wasn't a license to go around and sin? Who were these people running around forgetting that they had been given grace because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Now, every Christian is a saint and is called to a holy purpose. And the wonderful thing is that sinners can become saints. But now, in some religious bodies, did you know that you have to be dead 5 years at least before they'll call you a saint? And I'm wondering why they want you to wait so long. I've got a good idea of why, but I'm not going to say. But what I'm suggesting is, I read in my Bible, the word saint is a designation of all believers, all Christians. Paul addressed a lot of his epistles to the saints. Romans chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Ephesians 1 and 1, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2. And when Saul had persecuted Christians in Jerusalem, it says he done harm to the saints. And when Peter visited the Christians in Lydda, it says he went down to the saints that lived there. Who are these saints that's gathered here today in this building? Paul said, nor fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But then in verse 11 he said, which were some of you, But ye are now sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If someone was to ask you who you are, we can tell them we're saints who love God and we're not perfect. We are living individuals who have dedicated ourselves to worship and service to the one and only God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We are faithful saints and we're children of God. When someone asks you, who are you? That's what you can tell them. We're children of God. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, Paul said, ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Children of God. Can you think of any better honor to be called than children of God? Any better relationship to be in than a child of God? I don't think we can. God the Father, Jesus Christ the mediator between us and God, is not ashamed to call us brothers in the presence of God. And He reveals His love to us every day. The Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews chapter 2, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. So when they ask us, who are you people that meet down there on Van Street by a junkyard? We can tell them we're children of God, and we need to act like it. Next, we are citizens of the kingdom. Some folks try to tell you that the kingdom hasn't even been set up yet. Well, it has. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When we think of a citizen or a citizens, we have to think of a king. And when we think of a king, when we think of a kingdom, we think of a king. That's what we read in the book of Revelations, chapter 17 and verse 14, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. We're citizens, not foreigners. We're not aliens as the Ephesians once were before they obeyed the gospel. We're citizens. That's who we are, and that's what we can tell them. Citizens of the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6. But another one, who are those people that meet down there on Van Street by that junkyard? We're part of God's family. We have a song in our songbook, God's Family. We ought to sing that song. Take out your songbooks, turn to page 643. God's Family, number 643. Brother Craig, would you be so kind to come up here and lead that song for us? God's Family, 643.
We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family who's loved and it's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. When a brother meets sorrow, we'll all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together together in victory, through His precious name. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And oh, some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city, as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
Thank you, Mark. That's a beautiful song, God's Family. That's who we are. You've done a beautiful job, Mark. Do we know anybody that we could be in a better family of than God's family? I don't think we can. By the way, are you in God's family today? Have you done what the Bible tells you to do in order to be able to get into God's family? Another thing we have today, if someone was to ask, who are you? You can tell them that we are a spiritual house. We're lively stones. And we're a holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Have we heard them words? Did we listen to them? We're lively stones, not dead. Spiritual house. The church is spiritual. This building is not the church. The Lord's people is the church. They make up the spiritual house. It's a holy priesthood, and it's to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Number 9. What a compliment God has given his people in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. When the question we ask, who are we? We are a chosen generation. Chosen when we obey God's plan. He chooses us to be saved by obeying his will. And when we obey his word, we are a royal priesthood. Did you hear those words? Royal priesthood. Did you realize that you're sitting among royalty today? The one sitting right next to you is royalty. And we didn't even have to go to England to be among royalty, did we? We're among royalty today. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We're called out of darkness. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, we need to be real careful here with that word peculiar. It don't always mean what some people think. It don't mean that we have to ride around in a horse and buggy all day. It's our possession. It just means we're special. We're special people. We are God's special people. And it's a blessing to have brothers and sisters in Christ. Who are these brethren that meet here on Van Street down near a junkyard? We're people of God, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are God's people. 1 Peter 2:10. And don't sell yourself short. God loves these people that love him and obey his will. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. We're strangers and pilgrims of this world. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Someone asks, well, what's that mean? It means we're just passing through this world. He urges us to abstain from fleshly lust and things which war against our soul. Strangers and pilgrims is who we are. And don't forget, we, like Abraham, who dwelled in tents, that's to say temporary homes, while he journeyed in search of a city which had foundations. You and I always need to be looking forward and upward to our incorruptible dwelling place, the city that's up in the third heavens where God the Father dwells. He calls it home of the soul. Who are we? Number 10. We are a submissive people. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Who are we people that meet here today? Well, we're people who have been, who have submitted to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, he talks about submission and how we are to submit ourselves to the head of the church and the wife to the head of the husband. Ephesians 5, verse 21 through 24, we are a submissive people. It's a Christian's responsibility, and we are to submit to one to another and submission to the Holy Spirit. But one more, and the lesson's yours. If someone was to ask you who you are, you can tell them that we are an obedient people. If someone was to ask us who we are, we can tell them we are an obedient people. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, the apostle, in writing to the Romans, said, "Not all have obeyed the gospel." The Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews 5:9, "And being made perfect," that's Christ, "he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey." So who are we? Well, we better be people who obey him. Because if we don't, if we're disobedient, we're on a dead-end road. The words of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, 15:22, are just as critical today as they were in King Saul's day. When Samuel said in verse 22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." If there's one thing that you and I need to learn from this 22nd verse of 1 Samuel chapter 15, it is nothing is so pleasing to God as obedience. Humble, sincere, conscientious obedience to the will of God is more pleasing and acceptable to him than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Obedience is the glory of angels. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." King Saul was rejected. He was rejected from being king of Israel because of his disobedience. Let you and I be people of obedience who obey the Lord unto eternal salvation. You've heard the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Do you believe it with all your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins? God commands every man everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. And make a good confession of faith like the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you made that confession? Yet you can't figure out how to get it done for sure? You can do that today. We'll baptize you, and the Lord will forgive you of all your past sins. He'll add you to his church, and it'll be up to you to be who we just talked about. Be ye faithful, steadfast, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, become a member of the Lord's church, but you've gotten careless in your living, you've gotten off track, and you need to get back on. We can pray with you and for you. Now, if you come forward by repenting of your guilty sins, as we stand and sing the song.